الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have finished off Ayat Al-Kursi. And we said that there's a difference between Al-Kursi and Al-Arsh, right?
Yes.
Furthermore, we explained our belief concerning Allah's names and attributes, and that when Allah says something, we don't deny it, we don't twist the meaning, we don't distort the meaning, and we never ever liken Allah to His creation. Because Allah taught us in the clearest terms in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there's none co-equal to Him. So we don't have any human images of God. Doing so constitutes shirk, ascribing partners to Allah, setting up rivals with Allah by merely having a human image of God or anything else. So then we don't have any images, and that has been explained thoroughly, I believe. Today, inshallah, verse 256, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. Someone can read the verse 256, the interpretation of the meaning in English, please, loudly.
There is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Whoever disbelieves in God and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing.
Barakallahu fiqh. Yaqul al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayh. Excuse me, my brother. هذا بيان لكمال هذا الدين الإسلامي. This is a declaration. So this was a declaration of the perfection of this Islamic way of life. And we said that deen should be and is more suitable to be translated as way of life as opposed to religion. Because the concept of religion in the Western world and otherwise is that religion is that which has to do with your relationship with a God. And it doesn't deal with the economy, with the society, it doesn't deal with many other elements. Whereas we believe that Islam is a way of life. It is not only your relationship with Allah, but it also has to do with your relationship with your parents, with your neighbors, with the creation, with the animals, with the plants, with the trees, everything. So it becomes a way of life. Deen becomes a way of life. وأنه لكمال براهينه واتضاح آياته وكونه هو دين العقل والعلم ودين الفطرة والحكمة ودين الصلاح والإصلاح ودين الحق والرشد فلكماله وقبول الفطر له لا يحتاج إلى الإكراه عليه. ما شاء الله. Because Islam, I mean the proofs of Islam are perfect. The evidences which we can present to the people which legitimize our religion. The clarity of the signs dealing with Islam, and the fact that it is the religion of intellect, in fact the only religion which requires of you to use your brain, is Islam. The rest of the religions, in one way or another, they tell you to shut off your brain. You say to the Christian, I don't understand Trinity. And he will tell you, you don't have to understand Trinity, but you have to believe in it. Well, that's a problem. If this is the basis of the religion, something that you cannot comprehend, then this is certainly a problem. And the rest can be said about all other religions. Alaykum salam.
So it is only religion then of the correct or right intellect, wal-ilm, and the religion of knowledge, wa-deen al-fitra, and it's the religion of the natural disposition, the natural way you were created, without any, before the shayateen diverted the son of Adam into other religions and into new beliefs and ideologies, you were born naturally as a believer in the oneness of Allah, submitting your will to His. وَالْحِكْمَةِ and it's the religion of wisdom, وَدِينُ الصَّلَاحِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ it's the religion of goodness and rectification, and it's the religion of truth and guidance. Because of its perfection and the fact that the souls, human beings find inclination towards this religion, it does not need anyone to be compulsed so they may enter Islam. There's no compulsion. If this is so clear, I don't have to grab someone by his arm, twist it around, and drag him into the religion. It doesn't need that. Because the religion is clear. Once you have conveyed the message, khalas. If they don't want to accept Islam, then it's not your obligation that they accept Islam. Your obligation is what? To convey Islam. Deliver the message. Guidance is from Allah. Allah guides those who want guidance. Some people don't want any guidance. So this is something that we need to keep in the back of our minds. لِأَنَّ الْإِكْرَاهَ إِنَّمَا يَقَعَ عَلَى مَا تَنْفَرُ عَنْهُ الْقُلُوبُ أَوْ تَنْفِرُ عَنْهُ الْقُلُوبُ وَيَتَنَافَ مَعَ الْحَقِيقَةِ وَالْحَقِّ. Forcing someone to enter into a particular belief or to accept a particular belief is usually associated with something that the hearts find reprehensible, something that the hearts don't like, and you have to kind of, you know, try to find a way to make them accept it, or something which negates the truth, like a dogma, you know, the dogma which is a belief system, like in Christianity, in Judaism, Buddhism, so forth. It's a belief system which the people are expected to believe in, even though it is not really digestible. It's a dogma, it's something odd, there's something odd in the teachings. But they're still expected to accept these particular teachings. So this is usually when you have to force someone to accept. When there's kind of friction, right? There's no ease in accepting. But a religion which is compatible with your belief system, the way you were created, and something that has to do with the truth, then naturally you wouldn't need to force anyone to accept that kind of religion. أَوْ لَمَّا تَخْفَى بَرَهِنُهُ آيَاتُهُ. Or a religion where its signs and evidences are lost or concealed. وَإِلَّا فَمَنْ جَاءُ هَذَا الدِّينِ وَرَدَّهُ وَلَمْ يَقْبَلْهُ فَإِنَّهُ لِعِنَادِهِ. Very important element of da'wah. Otherwise, whosoever receives the message of Islam and he rejects it and he does not accept it, then this is due to his stubbornness. That's it. Pride, arrogance, stubbornness. Never in your mind think that there's something wrong with Islam which make it valid or justifies for the people not accepting Islam. Never. Whether it is jihad or whether it is polygyny. And we said there's a difference between polygamy and polygyny. Maybe many people don't know the slight difference. Polygamy, which is the common term used among the people, is actually a man marrying more than one woman, or a woman marrying more than one man. We don't have that in Islam. We have polygyny spelled differently, P-O-L-Y-G-Y-N-Y. Whereas polygamy is P-O-L-A-J-A-M-Y. Right? Polygyny, this is the way it says, polygamy versus polygyny is when a man may have more than one wife. That Islam allows. Not the other way around. Be careful, right? So you have bigamy and polyandry, and polygamy and polygyny. The one which we allow is
polygyny.
Beautiful. Now, for instance, this teaching or any other teaching which some kafir does not like for whatever reason, do not feel in your heart that you need to change Islam to please the kafir. If he doesn't like the teachings, he is sick in his mind, in his heart, in his essence, and the problem is solely his, nothing to do with Islam. The biggest evidence and proof is that the same person who will reject a man having more than one wife, if you were to speak to him about having a girlfriend and committing fornication, adultery, he will say, no problem. What do you think about gay people? Gay people are nice. Right? So this is distorted. Fornication is okay, but marrying another woman legitimately is not okay. Where's the sickness? In the person. Where's the misunderstanding? In the person. So we don't have to change Islam so we can present it to a kafir who will find reasons not to accept. Once you deliver Islam with everything in it, focusing on tawheed, if they don't accept it, then the problem is with the person you're inviting, it is not with the message you're delivering to the person. Unless you're a terrible da'i. Unless you're mixing things up and giving false information and you don't have, you know, you have other issues in your methodology of conveying a message, then this is a separate issue. But if you gave them a book which deals with a brief explanation of Islam and they don't want to embrace Islam, this is not our problem. Then the issue is with them. Stubbornness from their end. So that's what the Shaykh was saying. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ فَلَمْ يَبْقَ لِأَحَدٍ عُذْرًا أَوْ عُذْرٌ وَلَا حُجَّةٌ إِذَا رَدَّهُ وَلَمْ يَقْبَلْ. Because the right way has been made clear and distinct from the wrong way. The guidance has been made distinct from deviance. So it is no excuse for anyone to reject it and not to accept it concerning Islam. ولا منافاة بين هذا المعنى وبين الآيات الكثيرة الموجبة للجهاد. فإن الله أمر بالقتال ليكون الدين كله لله ولدفع اعتداء المعتدين على الدين. وأجمع المسلمون على أن الجهاد ماض مع البر والفاجر وأنه من الفروض المستمرة الجهاد القولي والجهاد الفعلي. There is no contradiction between this meaning which we are understanding from the word لا إكراه في الدين and between the many ayat which mandate jihad. And we've explained in many of our sessions, those of you who missed the sessions, jihad is a generic term meaning struggling for the sake of Allah. But when used in this context, it means particularly to engage in warfare, to engage in warfare against the disbelievers, those who are trying to eliminate Islam. There's offensive jihad and there's defensive jihad. It is not only defensive as many people claim. 256. Not only defensive as many people claim. If you attack us, then we will defend. Yeah, that's there. And there's offensive jihad as well. When the deen of Allah needs to be spread and you are an obstacle in the way, you need to move. You need to move. How do we do this? Do we go and drop a bomb from an airplane like Hiroshima and kill everybody there, say, okay, now this is a Muslim territory? No. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach? Go and invite them to Islam. Tafaddal. Enter into the religion of Allah. This is the best thing you will ever do anyways. If they say no, then what do we do next, ya Shabab? Jizya. Say, no problem. Keep your religion. Keep your churches. Keep your temples. Keep everything you want. However, this religion of Allah is expected to spread around the world. Because it's a message that everyone, please close the door. It's a message that everyone deserves, right or wrong. Did they have internet back then? Television stations? Telephone? If you lived in Africa, the only way you would learn about Islam, if Muslims were in Africa. Right? There were no other means. So people get philosophical now, say, well, you know, we don't have to go there now. We can just convey the message through Huda TV. Well, that's very nice of you, brother. Not everybody has Huda TV. And this is not the ultimate means of da'wah. The ultimate means of da'wah is you sit with someone and you tell them about Islam. Not that they watch a TV show and khalas, mashallah, they're ready to go. It's a good way, but it is not the ultimate way. The ultimate way is one-on-one da'wah. See in the example of Muslims, which is something we're missing today, good Muslims in the communities. This is how Indonesia became the biggest Muslim country. When they saw the merchants dealing with the people in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point being is that the second level then is jizya. We shall be taking over this land. We will be protecting you You are free to keep everything you want to keep. You see, and you pay some minor taxes. Hello? You pay some minor taxes and life goes on. If they refuse that, then it is wartime. How is war handled? Do we go to a house, burn it down? No. We see a woman walking down the street, do we shoot her? No. Children playing in the playground, do we throw a bomb and kill them? No. An elderly person walking by, do we attack him? No. A priest in church dedicated to his disbelief, do we go in the church and harm him? No. Do we burn a tree? No. Do we kill animals? No. That's Islam. That's jihad. Beautiful. No one does this in the world. No one does this in the world. What we do is we fight against punks who would like to fight against us on the battlefield. Period. No women, children, elderly people, people who are dedicated to worship, you know, those devoted to worship. These people are not included in the jihad. And if they say we're done, then we're done as well. What is the objective? Spilling blood? No. If we're able to spare lives, we spare lives. The objective is that the religion of Allah is the most supreme. That it is not a cross that is running the world, and not a crescent either, because the crescent is not the symbol for Islam as many people think. You know, nowadays it's either a cross or you have the crescent, the moon, a banana shaped moon. This has nothing to do with Islam. This is something that was invented in Turkey some years back. It has nothing to do with Islam. Now they give it as a symbol to Islam. Anyways, but the point is that Islam is the religion that is most supreme. Why? Because when Muslims are running the world, everybody will be in peace. And everyone will be given the opportunity to receive the message of Islam. So then if they accept, they accept. If they reject, raikum salam. If they reject, we say, لا إكراه في الدين, there's no compulsion in the religion. If they don't want to accept Islam, then no one will be forcing them to embrace Islam. They are free to keep their religion. So we need to understand this in this particular context. Because among the people involved in da'wah, we have many conflicting methodologies. Some extremes who make jihad, who explain jihad out of context, they misrepresent jihad and turn it into merely violence. It's like violence, it's trying to cause corruption upon earth. And Islam negates and does not allow corruption upon earth in any way, shape or form. The other extreme is the liars. The liars who every day say, peace, Islam is peace, the message of peace, we want peace, and we love peace, and we have no jihad in Islam. Nothing. They deny clear teachings in the Quran and the Sunnah that any new Muslim, and a few months into embracing Islam, if he reads some of the verses in the Quran, he'll be like, whoa, I thought that they don't have this in Islam. And he may leave Islam because he was lied to in the beginning. So then, we keep it real. This is what Allah taught. You have a problem with Allah? Then your problem is on the Day of Judgment. I'm sorry. Islam doesn't sound good for you? That's your problem, my friend. Not my problem. Allah will judge you on the Day of Judgment for the wickedness that you have. He will not judge me for giving you the message that He revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is very simple. The message as is, we deliver. No addition, no deletion. Yes, wisdom entails that you modify the manner or the content of your message according to the invitee, the person you're speaking to, his mentality, his state of mind is to be taken into consideration. So you don't, as soon as you meet someone non-Muslim, say, let me tell you, Islam is a religion of jihad. And we engage in warfare against the enemies of Allah. And so what is going to happen? He's going to say, okay, where's the door? See you later. He's going to run away and say, what is this? Is this what you begin with? No. Did the Prophet ﷺ begin with that? No. For 13 years, what was he doing? Giving da'wah to what?
Allah.
Tawheed. Maintaining Allah's uniqueness and unity. Worshipping Allah alone. That was all that Islam was in the beginning. Once they became strong, and Tawheed was instilled in the hearts of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the Kuffar had known already that this is the religion of truth and they still deliberately rejected, then jihad was allowed. That they get back their rights, because they were kicked out of their homeland, Mecca, and had to run away and migrate to Medina. You see what I'm saying? So then, this manner of there's no compulsion in the religion does not negate the many ayat which necessitate struggling for the cause of Allah or in the cause of Allah. Verily Allah had commanded that we fight in His cause, so the whole religion will be to Allah alone. And so we may prevent the oppression of the transgressors against our religion. وَأَجْمَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى أَنَّ الْجِهَادَ مَاضٍ مَعَ الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. And the Muslims have unanimously agreed that we are to engage in jihad whether the leader is a wicked person or a righteous person. If the leader says to the Muslims right now, if the Imam, if there was a Khalifa, and he said, Muslims, we will all go and fight in Palestine, it will become an obligation on us to go and aid our brothers in Palestine.
Inshallah.
If that was to happen. But what happens is people get excited and they go on their own and they're not skilled. They cause more damage than good. They cause more problems than solutions. So this is why Islam is not a religion of emotionalism. As soon as you get a little excited, say, okay, I'm going to go act out. Because you do the dumbest things during that time. You may think, this is what happens to people. He'd be watching TV, and he sees some footages of Palestine. He sees some, you know, Israeli soldier slapping a Muslim woman. And you get mad and angry. He goes and he bombs himself and he kills people in a bus.
No,
people do this. We're not saying this is correct, but that's what happens. Because something angered him. Now he's full of rage, which he cannot let out. So he releases that in a way which is based on emotionalism, not Islamic teachings. So he commits suicide, which is not allowed, and he kills innocent people, which is not allowed. In the name of who? Allah and Islam. So then we have a problem with this kind of behavior. This is terrorism, which we Muslims don't have. You see the difference now between jihad and terrorism? That other way of expressing your feelings is unallowed. It's not allowed in Islam. Killing people buying vegetables at a supermarket is not allowed in Islam. No justification for that. But this is what happens in the name of Islam today. All these bombings, whether the Muslims are involved or not, Allahu A'lam, which are attributed to Muslims, are actually un-Islamic. But if the kuffar, if the Jews were to come to Israel, to Palestine, excuse me, and fight the Muslims, and the Muslims were to fight back, do we say these are terrorists? But they call them terrorists in the media. Whatever the Jewish army is doing, the American soldiers are doing, this is never terrorism. This is freedom fighting. Huh? Trying to free the world from the oppressors, you know, some individuals, some figures, Saddam and Osama, you know, they put them all, every day, most wanted, $1,000,000 for his head, dead or alive, you know, a whole country with CIA and FBI and almost half of the world works for them. In terms of their puppet leaderships, governments, almost half of the world is actually has been placed by Americans. And they can't find one man. They're playing catch with one man. Where is he hiding? You know, every other day he comes on TV with a thing. We will kill you, we will blow you up. Where is this being filmed? Where? It's like a big Hollywood, man. Don't believe anything, by the way. Anytime you see Osama bin Laden saying this, or Saddam being murdered or being hung, only Allah knows what is real and what is a lie. You don't see with your own eyes. You see something that the Jewish media has brought to you through CNN, Fox News, Jazeera, or otherwise. And so you think, okay, I have all the information. So you start speaking bad about this person and that person. Be careful. Because there's the people who made a dinosaur look live in Jurassic Park. You've seen Jurassic Park? They put movies together, man. They lie. And they have a long agenda. So don't be fooled by the hype. Start feeling, oh, we Muslims, we're terrorists, you know, no, look what the world is doing to the Muslims, man. Everywhere you go, any Muslim country, we are being targeted militarily. Not with only ideologies. Ideology, we're being attacked in our homeland here. In this country, the TV is trying to brainwash us all together. The English books, the English books for the students in schools, whether it is the top notch or interchange or these wicked books, the very objective of these books is to brainwash the Muslims. As if English language is only a rap song and Britney Spears half naked and some shirk along the way. That's what the English book is today. They don't teach you Shakespeare, not anymore. 50 cents. They say, yo, you like rap? Yeah, I like rap. This is the English book that we have to teach students in class. This is the ideological warfare. Then military warfare, go to the Muslim lands, wherever they are, whether in the Philippines, our brothers in Mindanao, or whether you go elsewhere in Afghanistan, you go to Iraq, wherever you go, Muslims are being attacked and killed every day. Then they tell us we are a religion of violence, we are the terrorists, we are, and some of us believe. They say, oh yeah, we are. I need to hide it, I need to lie. You have to look at the terror that they're doing in the world. These people are liars. They play with the words. So have firm belief. Huh? Don't be shaken every time, you know, like a plant. Every time the wind blows, you lean over. Stay firm like a mountain. This is the teaching of Islam. This is what we have. This is what we have belief in. If you like it, ahla wa sahla. You don't like it, this is the door. That's none of my business. You will go to the hellfire eternally, not me, if I deliver the message of Islam to you. That's what it is. So, you know, keep it real, as they say. Okay. وَأَنَّهُ مِنَ الْفُرُوضِ الْمُسْتَمِرَّةِ And that jihad is among the permanent obligations. It doesn't end. Until the day of judgment, there will be jihad. In fact, this world will not come to an end until the Muslims will engage in jihad against the Jews. Against the Jews who will be following the false Messiah, Al-Masih al-Dajjal. And then we will have Al-Mahdi and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Jesus, the son of Mary, will be brought back. He will descend back to this earth. And the warfare will take place against the Jews. And so much so that the Jew will be hiding behind a stone, a rock, a wall. And the wall will say, Oh Muslim, there's a Jew behind me. Come and chop his neck off. And then will be the end of the world. Once the Muslims defeat the kuffar, and then we will be given back our pride and our victory over the disbelievers, then will begin the signs, the major signs of the Day of Judgment, and the good people will eventually die out, the evil people will remain, and the shaking of the hour, as-sa'ah, will occur upon the most wicked of creation. It comes in some of the narrations that people will be fornicating on the streets. The people, these people who the hour will be established on, yani the last moment, will people who will be fornicating with their parents on the street, they'll be the most wicked of human beings. Because Allah will take the souls of the believers prior to that. Right? So, so jihad is permanent. وَمَنْ ظَنَّ مِنَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ And jihad, by the way, is done verbally and in action. So, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was among the mujahideen with his pen, with his tongue and with his physical limbs. When the Tatar came and tried to invade the Muslim land, he, rahimahullah, incited the Muslims and encouraged them to engage in war and against them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave victory to the Muslims. Furthermore, he had jihad with his pen. He refuted the new philosophical approaches of understanding Islam from the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, all Greek and Persian belief systems, philosophical belief systems which were introduced into Islam. And so he refuted the people with his pen, with his tongue and with his body. And jihad includes all of the above. وَمَنْ ظَنَّ مِنَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ أن هذه الآية تتنافى أو تنافي آيات الجهاد فجزم بأنها منسوخة فقوله ضعيف لفظا ومعنى كما هو واضح بين لمن تدبر الآية الكريمة كما نبهنا عليه. And whoever among the مفسرين had thought that this ayah negates the ayat of jihad and consequently is abrogated, then this statement of this is weak, both lafzan, terminology wise, wa ma'nan, and the meaning and the context, kama huwa wadih, as it is clear to the one who reflects upon the ayah. So the Shaykh is saying that there isn't a ruling abrogating the other, where the first there was no compulsion in the religion, meaning everyone was allowed to keep their religion, then suddenly jihad came and now they had to change their religion. No. at the end of the day, it will always be the default state, no compulsion in the religion. Even if you engage in warfare, even if you have the sword against someone's head, can you make him embrace Islam in his heart? He may say it, lip service, due to the fear of the sword. But will you be able to affect his belief system? No. So then there's no compulsion in the religion. You can never force someone to willingly accept Islam. This is why we say Islam wasn't spread by the sword in this context, in this sense. Because you can never make someone, through the sword, embrace a religion which he doesn't want to embrace. Because he might tell you, okay, I'm a Muslim in front of you, then when he goes home, he prays to Jesus. You can't control him. Is he going to suddenly pray to Allah because he was afraid of you when you had a sword? No. So the issue of belief then is something in the heart. You cannot affect it. You cannot change it. You cannot alter it. So there's no compulsion in the religion. Now, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنْتِصَامُ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ قسم آمن بالله وحده لا شريك له وكفر بالطاغوت. Then Allah divided the creation into two categories. A group of them who believed in Allah alone, without any partners, and they rejected طاغوت. طاغوت is any false deity. Any false deity. So the quality of the believers, they believe in Allah alone, they worship Him alone, and they reject all false gods. وهو كل ما ينافي الإيمان بالله من الشرك وغيره. And that means that they believed in everything, or they rejected everything which negates belief in Allah, such as shirk, associating partners with Allah, and other things. فهذا قد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. This particular person has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. التي لم انفصام لها, and that this which will never break. It is that which will never break. بل هو مستقيم على الدين الصحيح حتى يصل به إلى الله وإلى دار كرامته. So he remains upright upon the true way of life until he reaches his destination, which is Allah, and the land or the abode of his honoring, in the place where Allah will honor the believers, which is Jannah. ويؤخذ القسم الثاني من مفهوم الآية أن من لم يؤمن بالله بل كفر به وآمن بالطاغوت فإنه هالك هلاكا أبديا ومعذب عذابا سرمديا. However, we understand from the ayah that whosoever then does not believe in Allah, nay, but he disbelieves in Him, and he on the other hand accepts طاغوت, he believes in false deities, then he will be destructed, the eternal destruction, and he will be punished the eternal punishment. It will never come to an end. It will never cease to exist. وقوله والله سميع أي لجميع الأصوات باختلاف اللغات على تفنن الحاجات. And Allah is all hearing, meaning He hears all sounds, irrespective of the languages, with the various means of expressions. وسميع لدعاء الداعين وخضوع المتضرعين. And he hears the supplication of those who supplicate to him, and those who humble themselves to him. وعليم, he is all knowledgeable, بما أكنته الصدور. He knows that which chests conceal. وما خفي من خفايا الأمور. And everything which is hidden from among that which is hidden to the people. فيجازي كل أحد بحسب ما يعلمه من نياته وعمله. So he will recompense everyone according to what he knows of their niyyah, their intentions and their deeds. The verse 257, الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Verse 257 please. Anyone? Okay, I'll read it. Allah is the wali or the protector or guardian of those who believe. He brings them out from darkness into light. But as for those who disbelieve, their awliya, their supporters and helpers, are taghut, false deities and false leaders. They bring them out from light into darkness. Those are the dwellers of the fire, and they will abide therein forever. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله: فهذه الآية مترتبة على الآية التي قبلها، فالسابقة هي الأساس وهذه هي الثمرة. This ayah is subsequent to the one that preceded it. The previous ayah was the foundation and this is the fruit. The previous ayah was the plant and this is the fruit that you receive from that plant.
فأخبر تعالى أن الذين آمنوا وصدقوا إيمانهم بالقيام بواجبات الإيمان وترك كل ما ينافيه أنه وليهم يتولاهم بولايته الخاصة ويتولى تربيتهم.
Allah told us in the Quran here that whosoever believes in Him and then they prove their belief by fulfilling the obligations which are necessitated by belief, by iman, and they abandon everything which negates that, that Allah is their support, He is their supporter. He will support them with this special kind of support. وَيَتَوَلَّ تَرْبِيَتَهُمْ and Allah will take it upon Himself to bring them up correctly. What is intended here, that the concept of the one who sustains, the one who provides, the one who arranges the affairs. So Allah will take care of them in a special manner. So much so that when the punishment of Allah has been decreed, these people will be saved by Allah. They will have a special treatment by Allah, special support by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْجَهْلِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَالْمَعَاصِ وَالْغَفْلَ وَالْإِعْرَاضِ إِلَى نُورِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْيَقِينِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِقْبَالِ الْكَامِلِ عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ.
And this is a yardstick for us to see whether we have really been guided by Allah or not. Just look at these verses and evaluate yourself as I evaluate myself. Allah will take them from the darkness of ignorance and disbelief and disobedience and heedlessness and turning away from the teachings. He will take them from all that to the light of knowledge, certainty in the teachings, iman, belief, strong belief and determination, a conviction in the teachings, ta'a, obedience, wal iqbal al kamil arabim, and then a full-fledged inclination towards their Lord. They are striving to go to Allah. As Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadi'un ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. O son of Adam, verily you will be striving. You're striving and going towards your Lord so that you will meet Him. This is going to happen. It's going to come. So these people that Allah described, they have the inclination towards Allah. Meaning, what is it which pleases Allah? They want to do it. They're always looking for opportunities to acquire good deeds in the various ways available. Alhamdulillah, we have many ways. So this is the quality. As opposed to those who are finding the least opportunity to engage in something which will fulfill their desires, even though it's disobedience to Allah, then they will engage in that. And this is the reality of people. I mean, two people will leave the house. One will be going looking for the closest masjid to pray in the jama'ah, and another will be going out to fire to buy a pack of cigarettes, or to meet some woman, or to do any kind of sin. Right? So, you know, whichever one we are, we will know according to these ayat. If you have been guided to do good, to love iman, to have certainty in Islam, to seek Allah's pleasure, to strive in doing good deeds, then Allah has guided you and He has taken you from the darkness to the light. But if we don't feel this way, if we find that we're always looking for evil to commit, negligence concerning Allah, insisting on doing evil deeds, even though we know they're haram, even though we know we're not supposed to do them, then this is an indication that Allah has not guided us from the light, from the darkness to the light. It's the other way around. This person has gone from the light to the darkness of ignorance and disobedience. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَيُنَوِّرُ قُلُوبَهُمْ بِمَا يَذُّقُوا فِيهَا مِنْ نُورِ الْوَحْيِ وَالْإِيمَانِ. And Allah illuminates their hearts with that which He would instills in their hearts of the light of guidance and belief. وَيُيَسِّرُهُمْ لِلْيُسْرَى وَيُجَنِّبُهُمُ الْعُسْرَى. And Allah will facilitate for them ease and He will make them avoid difficulties. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَأَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا تَوَلَّوْا غَيْرَ وَلِيِّهِمْ وَلَّاهُمُ اللَّهُ مَا تَوَلَّوْا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. As for those who disbelieve, once they have chosen other than Allah as the helper and the protector, then Allah allowed them to go to those whom they have chosen as helpers and protectors, and guess what? They're unable to help them nor protect them. When people refer to the false gods, these false gods, as Allah described in the Quran, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And they have taken besides Him, besides Allah, gods who created nothing. And this is the biggest test. If anyone tells you that this is a god, you know, some Hindu tells you this, this image of an erect penis, by the way, just in case you don't know, Hindus, among the Hindus, they have two gods, a vagina and a penis, which they do Hajj. They go for pilgrimage from all over the world to go and worship a sexual organ, a male and female sexual organ, and they believe these are gods, besides the cow and the monkeys and the dung and everything that comes along the way. Anyways, you tell him, listen man, this is a god, let him create a fly, just a fly, just for me, I want to become a Buddhist. Because you're not saying this, I know people who may want to become Buddhist, okay? Just a fly, only a mosquito, just a mosquito, please. I challenge you. Isn't that a god? Let him do it. Right now, let him do it. Bring all of your bishops and all these, you know, the leaders of your religion. Let them all supplicate to this god simultaneously. Only one fly. Let him grow a hair. Okay, let Buddha grow a hair on his forehead. Just for me. They will not be able to do it. They will tell you, oh, blah, blah, blah. They cannot do it. Let them do it. If they say, say, look what Allah created. You go bring a potato, you know, the children in science in school, they give them this experiment to do it. They put it on the window, some seeds, and then you see the seed germinate. You see in a few weeks you have like a potato or some other onions, you know, growing right at your balcony. With what? The sun which Allah created, the water which Allah created, and the material itself which Allah created. So we say, look, Allah creates things all the time. Flies are being born every second. This is our God, which we believe in. Let your God create something. They can. You see that? This is a silencing reputation. Now look what Allah says. لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Nay, but they are created. Say, who made this Buddha? He will tell you, oh, you know, on Main Street, you know, Main Street intersection of whatever, you know, there's a big factory there which they make. So this was created. Your God was made by someone. Not only he cannot create, you had to create it. So you create your own God, and then you want this God to give you material, to give you things, even though he needs you to come into existence. Amazing. Amazing, the kuffar. But this is what they have, no brain. No brain. He may be able to solve mathematical equations, he may sound very sophisticated, but he is as dumb as a doorbell or a doorknob. You mean, what do you mean? You know, you make a statue and then you say, this is my God. And would they bow and cry, and you know. Same thing with the Christians in churches, you know, especially the Catholic Christians with their, you know, Saint Christopher and Saint Batiq and Saint Lahm Ba'ajin and Saint Manush. Every day they come with a saint which they call on to at the times of need. And you know, you all know the story of, I believe, Saint Christopher, who the Pope, you know, some years back said, oh, this guy is a fiction, is not real. Yeah, he's fake. And so he crossed him off the list of saints.
Saint?
Also, yeah. So for years, hundreds of years, people were calling on Saint Christopher for travel, right? He's like the saint for traveling. He will protect you in your travel. Then the Pope made some studies and he realized that this guy really doesn't exist. He's fictitious. That's the word I was looking for. And so he crossed him off the list of saints. My relatives from the Philippines, so one of the ladies died, you know, one of the ladies died, and so for whatever reason they wanted to do something in the grave. So some, you know, some maybe a few months had passed, the area there is a little cold, they found that her body had not decayed, they went to the church, the priest said, oh, she's a saint. So then she became a saint, my own relative, through my family. Wow! You know, look how easy it is. One time that guy's been worshipped for hundreds of years, take him off the list. They find a lady that has not deteriorated yet in the grave, or she must be a saint. Even if she was the most wicked person in the world, she must be a saint. So they declared her as a saint. And now the whole family is happy. Oh, we have a saint. faith in our family. It's amazing, man. Amazing. So do you know these things don't make any sense to us, alhamdulillah, because Allah gave us the brains of Muslims. And the Muslim brain is very, very, you know, straight to the point, very reasonable. Yes, this doesn't make any sense. So these are the false gods. They did not create anything. They themselves are created. They cannot benefit themselves, let alone benefit you. They cannot harm themselves, let alone harm you. And they do not have any power over death, life, or resurrection. These are the false gods. So whoever chooses them and abandons Allah, Allah will let them keep their choice. But these gods, which are so helpless in the dunya, will they be able to permit them to paradise in the life to come? No. Because they cannot help themselves, how will they help their followers? Alaykum salam. Hey. وَقَدَلَهُمْ وَوَكَلَهُمْ إِلَىٰ رِعَايَةِ مَنْ تَوَلَّهُمْ مِمَّنْ لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ نَفْعٌ وَلَا ضَرٌ وَلَا ضُرٌ. So Allah will allow them to choose these people, these helpers and protectors and supporters which have taken besides Allah. And these people cannot benefit them or harm them, these false gods. فَأَضَلُّوهُمْ وَأَشْقُوهُمْ وَحَرَمُوهُمْ هِدَايَةَ الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. So these false deities will mislead them, will make their life wretched, and they will prevent them and deprive them of guidance, the guidance of beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. وَحَرَمُوهُمْ سَعَادَةً, and they will deprive them of happiness. وَصَارَتِ النَّارُ مَثْوَاهُمْ, and the hellfire will become their abode. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مُخَلَّدِينَ, abiding therein eternally. اللَّهُمَّ تَوَلَّنَا فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتُ. Oh Allah, make us among those whom you have given a special support. That's what we want. And that's what we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, I believe this should be sufficient inshaAllah ta'ala. Next week, bi'idhnillah, we'll be dealing with a very interesting da'wah method which was first done by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And we will learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of the prophets, how to give da'wah to the atheists and to the agnostics and to the various kuffar, with logic, using logic and reasoning, a particular line of reasoning to convey the message to the people. Very important for the da'ya that you have logical arguments, not only belief, because you believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, but the person you're inviting does not. So you may give him an ayah which he doesn't even believe in. So you need logical arguments, the ability to give them worldly examples which they can relate to see that what you are really teaching or you are conveying from Allah is actually sound. And it is not something that is unacceptable. So then inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy, we'll do next week. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.